Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This Lent, we're going to look at some of Jesus' disciples. It's interesting. As we look at Jesus' ministry, there are the 12 disciples. There are the women who support his ministry financially and friends of his as well. Then there are the 70 beyond and 500 beyond that that are involved in his ministry. But this Lent, we're just going to look at some of those first disciples who were with him. And we begin today with Andrew. The reading is from John. The next day again, John the Baptist was standing with two disciples when Jesus passed by. John looked toward Jesus and said, "There is the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard what John said, they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following. "What are you looking for?" he said. What are you looking for?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," said Jesus. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the rest of the day with him. And it was about 4 in the afternoon. One of the two who followed Jesus after hearing what Jesus said was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first thing he did was to find his brother Simon and say to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is Hebrew for Christ. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at Peter and said to Peter, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," that is Peter, the rock. And then another scene where Andrew's involved later in the Gospel of John. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Gentiles. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to Andrew, and the two of them went to tell Jesus. What kind of man is this Andrew? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus' 12 disciples have been called the foundation stones of the Christian church. They were all very different people, each one unique in his own personality. And they're held up in the Gospels as examples of what it might mean to follow Jesus, both back in their time and in ours. And this Lent, we're going to be looking at the life of some of them to see what they might be saying to our own discipleship today. And we start with the first disciple, who was Andrew. And Andrew was Peter's brother. He's mentioned in all the Gospels, but only in the Gospel of John is his qualities brought to life and described. What kind of man was this first one to follow Jesus? What was his character like? And what might these qualities say to our own discipleship? First of all, I think There's the very name itself, Andrew. In the Bible, names of people often are indicators of their inner character. They're outward signs of the kind of person we're dealing with. And Andrew is actually a Greek name. We don't know his Hebrew name. The name Andrew means brave or courageous. And that's something, that's a quality I think we can all use in our lives, isn't it? I was struck by something Edna St. Vincent Millay had written about her mother and her mother's courage. Do you remember this? It's famous. The courage that my mother had went with her and is with her still. Rock from New England quarried, now granite in a granite hill. The golden brooch my mother wore, she left behind for me to wear. I have no thing I treasure more, yet it is something I could spare. If instead she'd left to me the thing she took with her to the grave, that courage like a rock, which she has no more need of, and I have. Andrew, the brave, the courageous. Yeah. You know, in the legends that describe him later on, he dealt with some scary tribes in Turkey and Greece and up around the Black Sea. His name bore true. He was a brave man. And I think he's an example to us just by his name to stand tall. To stand tall as we face the pressures and the strains that come, you know, health problems that come out of nowhere, demands that seem to be made upon us all at once from all directions. Andrew's a reminder to us to be brave and to be courageous and to take it. What else can be said about this first disciple, this first one to follow Jesus? I think he's a person who is seeking spiritually. He's looking for something more. You know, it's often said by the people who study us that, in the first half of life, we're busy setting up our families and establishing our jobs and so forth. But as we get older, our attention turns beyond the material aspects of our lives. And our attention turns to life and death and what it's all about, what it all means. And Andrew strikes me as someone who's a little different in that these concerns came to him early in life. He starts out as a follower of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist points him to Jesus, and he and this unnamed disciple follow Jesus. And notice what Jesus does. He turns and he asks Andrew and this unnamed disciple that question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? That's a challenging question. You know, we've come to church this morning as Jesus' modern disciples, and just as with John, that question is aimed at us. What are we looking for? Are we looking for peace, for happiness, for friendship, for love, for God, for an answer to whether it's all true or not? What are you looking for? It's good to define that so that we know when we found it, that we found it. Andrew found it in the Christ. He found what he was looking for. He found the end of his spiritual journey. Not really the end, but at least the beginning of his spiritual journey in the Christ. Here we have a man who is brave just by name and by practice. We have a man who, even as a young person, is searching for what life and death are all about. There's something else about this person too, and that young as he is, he's very secure in himself. He knows who he is. And he's not a person where the ego is always involved. He's a team player. And just think now of his relationship with his brother, Peter. Andrew is the first one who follows Jesus. He's the first disciple. It's he who brings Peter in. And though this is debatable, some would argue that he was Peter's older brother. And yet, it's not Andrew who's the star. It's Peter. It's Peter who becomes the representative of all the disciples. You know, it's striking about this man that the sibling rivalry isn't there, the jealousy isn't there. I was reading about Joan Crawford and Olivia de Havilland, you know, the movie stars back in the golden age of Hollywood. And they were sisters. Joan and Olivia were sisters. And their relationship was toxic. And this went all through their families. And I think it was Joan who was interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter. And she described some of the jealousy that was there between them. And she said, "I was the first to get married. I got an Oscar before Olivia did. And if I die first, Olivia will be livid because I beat her to it." I mean, toxic. Can you imagine that? That jealousy. It's remarkable that we see none of this in Andrew when Peter is the star and he isn't. I think Leonard Bernstein was once asked, you know, what's the hardest instrument to play? How would you answer that? I'm not fully informed on music and what might be the hardest, the cello, the organ, the viola, the viol. What would be the hardest? How do you think Bernstein would answer that? With a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye. You know what he said? The hardest instrument is to be second fiddle. And Andrew doesn't seem to be bothered by that. I mean, he's secure enough of himself that he can be steady and at the same time recognize the gifts of other people. He's very much a team player. And you know, our churches are built on this, on personal relationships, on people laying ego aside and being able to work collaboratively, being able to work together in Christ's service within his congregation. And that was Andrew. I think he's an example to this. You know, this is where the vitality of the church lies. And just the average people working together without ego in Christ's service. And that's all Peter was interested in, really, as he comes across in the scriptures. Just serving Christ. And every time we see him, just about every time we see him in the Gospel of John, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. That's what he does. He brings his brother Peter. Later on, there's that little boy with the loaves and the fishes, you know, in the feeding of the 5,000. It's Andrew who brings the boy to Jesus. And later on, it's those foreigners, those Greeks, that Philip brings to him, and then he brings Philip and those people to Jesus. This is a man who is brave, is seeking, but also can work with people. Doesn't have to be in the spotlight. The service is more important. And there's something else that can be said about this person, and that is that last scene we read about in the scriptures. Andrew can reach out and be open to people who are different from himself. He is working at a time when there was a wall of separation, even the wall of hostility between the Jewish people and those who weren't Jewish on both sides. And here we see a Jewish disciple reaching out to Greeks and bringing them to Jesus. He knows that Jesus is for the Jewish people, but he's also for everyone. There's a universal significance here. And I think his example is a tremendous influence on the early church. For here in the early church, we see a breaking down of all the barriers, where people of different backgrounds are brought together in Christ's forgiveness and love. Here they find acceptance regardless of their background. And he's an example to us even today, to be able to reach out to people who might be different from us in Christ's name. Peter, brave, seeking, a team player, but also a man who could reach out to others and welcome them in. You know, and we're called to share our church, to share the gospel. Now, Andrew's interesting. He's the first disciple. He's very important, especially in the Orthodox Church. You know, there's one right down the road here at the intersection. The Eastern Church, that church that grows through Turkey and Greece up into Russia. He's regarded as the patron saint of Greece and Russia and Scotland. When he lost his life in Greece, and he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified as Jesus was crucified, and he asked to be crucified in another way, and it's that X-shaped cross. And you know, it's on the flag of Scotland today. That's their national flag. He established the church in what's now is Istanbul and Constantinople, which in the old days was a real center of Christianity. And you can go to the some of the mosques and see some of the painting peeling off. And behind that painting, there are the Christian paintings of Jesus. You know, it was said by the author of Acts in the New Testament that those disciples were people who turned the world upside down. And Andrew, just for a regular guy, did an awful lot in turning the world upside down. And those of you who are golfers will know, where is the historic center of golf? St. Andrew's, right? He's an example to us. Amen.